Well, I was already complimented about what I said this morning. One lady said, I really enjoyed your testimony. And I didn't know I had said that much about my own personal testimony, but I enjoy talking about it, and I still do, telling people how to be saved. Because I know one thing, if they're going to get saved, they got to get saved the way I got saved. And I didn't curb the market on it. So you're going to get saved, you're going to have to get saved the way I got saved. You're going to have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You put that in your bonnet, and you think about it, and I think you'll agree, yes, those that have trusted the Savior, they recognize there's just one way. I'm glad it's that way. It's simple. How in the world would the simple-minded ever understand it if it wasn't simple? Tonight I want to touch on and talk about a lot of things that I don't know much about. You ever ask yourself the question, how much you know? How much you really know? How much knowledge do you have? Do you know people pay a lot of money for knowledge, to know something? You know, it's hard work studying and trying to prepare yourself for a career in anything. The more you know, at least you're hoping and you're praying, I trust, that it'll pay rich dividends to you later on in life. I know something. I know something maybe nobody else knows, or not many people. And they'll pay me. They'll pay me to share with me what I know. So you can raise the question, you know, and I'm thinking in terms of spiritual things, how much do I know about the Lord? How much do I know about God? Oh, to know Him. The Apostle Paul said, oh, to know Him. The power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. We know someone that to know Him, there are unsearchable riches. There's something so glorious about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know Him, don't we? As our Savior. And we could know a whole lot more about Him had we applied ourselves, perhaps, to a search through the Scriptures. But I'd like for us to just think on some things that I've uncovered. I call them divine certainties. They're things that they are absolutely true. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not absolutely true, according to the book. And they're good things for you to know and for me to know. I don't know much. But I like to think I know things that are true. True. Some people know a lot of things, but they're not true. In fact, they make their living on untruth. They mask the truth itself, and they talk about a lot of other things. I don't think there's any area in which you could be, well, I'm disgusted to think about it, that someone masks the truth about spiritual things, hiding something from people that they will suffer eternal hurt because you didn't tell them the truth. You told them something else. That's bad. I made some notes, and I want to just read a few of these things. I'll start out with, let's read some scripture Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I just want to read these few verses at the close of chapter 11 in Romans. Beginning at verse 33 of Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Before we start looking at these things and making comments about them, turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This section that I'm reading from, if you have a Scofield reference Bible, we have the four or seven elements of the believer's position in Christ, in grace. Beginning at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's my song again. Remember that song this morning that I read part of it? In the beloved. What a glorious, glorious place to be. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Those are words of wisdom. Those are words that you can break that down, you can divide it up, you can ask yourself a lot of questions about that. That 34th verse of Romans 11, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? You know, sometimes we talk to someone, and you may use an expression sometimes, I'm picking your mind, trying to find out what you know about something. I don't even like to use that expression in talking about knowing the Lord. But I think the Lord would be delighted to think that I want to know more about him. He invites us to come. You want to know more about me? There's a whole lot more about him that we don't know than that we do know. You know that, don't you? You know that much, don't you? But I think our Heavenly Father and his beloved Son, that divine Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they delight in us exploring and trying to see what we can find out about them. They're not trying to hide from us, mind you. But it takes study and meditation. And I can't know anything about him unless he helps me to know it. I don't have that ability within myself to know him.
He's the one that will feed me and nourish my soul through the Word of God and what He has given to me so that I can know Him. Know the mind of the Lord. You know, most of us are too busy to want to know the mind of the Lord. I got a decision to make. I'm going someplace. I'm going to do something. Have you consulted the Lord about it? Well, not really. I think it's all right to do it. I think it's okay. And so off you go. You know a bit more know about what the Lord wants you to do than man in the moon. That's just the way we are, isn't it? Sometimes we are just rushing through life, kind of conducting things on our terms. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, never made an act or said a word or did anything apart from the will of the Father who sent Him. Every thought that He ever had in His mind, it was in perfect accord with the divine will. I'd like to be able to say that. But again, that's the way we are. So often, we're not willing to wait upon the Lord. Waiting upon Him may be some of the most valuable time we'll ever spend. Or who has been His counselor? You want to be an advisor to the Lord on how to run things? Now listen, don't jump ahead of me now. Have you ever thought that maybe things in the world today and the way going, you could handle it. You could straighten things out if you just had the opportunity. If they just let you, you'd straighten things out, wouldn't you? Sometimes we dream and we think about, that's a world of fantasy. Oh, what I would do. Well, I know what I would do. Yeah, you know what you would do. You'd do something foolish. Being a counselor to God. Do you ever have the silly notion in your mind that God doesn't know what He's doing? Perish the thought. What's going on in the world today has never been out of control. God is in control. That sovereign hand that rules sovereignly and supremely over all things. Brother and sister, He's there. It's under His control. We're a part of divine control. I pray, Lord, that He won't have any trouble dealing with me and getting me to do what He wants me to do. Isn't that the way we feel? Lord, help me. I want to do Your will. Thy will be done, Lord. And there's so much in the Word of God in which we can say, I know with certainty. Again, I started out with these divine certainties. 2 Timothy 1:12 has always been a very special verse of mine. I think it's one of those great things that we discover and know. I know. How often have you said, I know, and really you don't know. But I know, and I am persuaded that He, the one that I have committed the eternal destiny of my soul into His hands, He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. You like that? I do. I know that! Don't tell me I don't know that. I know that based upon the Word of God. I know Him. And I've trusted Him. I believe everything that God has said about Him. I know that. It's not, you say it's not much. Well, it is to me. It means a whole lot to me. Some people might say, so what? He's putting all that faith and trust in His God and in the person of His Son. And what He claims has been accomplished for him on his behalf. And he, by faith, that thing he calls faith, he's claiming all that for himself. I know that. You know, to know something is to understand, to comprehend. I'm taking in what it really means. And it's true, it's truth. And I believe it. Aren't you happy that the eternal destiny of your soul has been committed into the care of someone that can really take care of it? You ever had to park your car in one of those places where some guy jumps in there and you hear him go, whoo! Lord, I have mercy. I'll have to have that thing overhauled when he comes back. It's the way the world is. But I can be assured, based upon the Word of God, that the eternal destiny of the soul of that one that has entrusted him with the care of it, it'll be handled perfectly. Divine wisdom will direct everything that takes place regarding the eternal destiny of my soul. Lose my salvation? God knows. Satan must have planted that thought into the mind of somebody that was certainly not thinking. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said it is finished, it is finished. And I believe it. What he did is a finished work. It's complete. It is designed by God. It has been completed by God. And I've claimed it, and it is mine. And no one can ever take it away from me. It's in those hands of the Son of God. It's in the sovereign hands of my Heavenly Father. That's where my soul is. That's where I am tonight. That's where you are tonight. And you will arrive safely where He wants you to be, in His presence. You know that. Isn't that wonderful? You know something that you value very highly. At least I do. I'm basing what I believe upon divine knowledge. This book. Some people don't put much stock in what the old book says. The Bible, oh, that Bible. Those people, they act like it's something that nourishes their souls and just keeps them going on and keeps them satisfied. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's what it's there for. That's what he gives it to us for. So special. It's so nourishing to this new life that I have, this spiritual life that I have. The Spirit of God is taking this book and he's nourishing my little soul. He's helping me to know. You can't buy this. You know, people like to buy things. I got money. I get what I want. You call up that guy and you say, should I do some trading today? He says, it'll cost you to know. I know something you don't know, and it's going to cost you if you know what to do. That's the way the world is. Well, let's think about what Mr. A.P. Gibbs used to say. If you're going to know the mind and the will of God, it will cost you. Because you're going to have to draw aside from this world and the hustle and the bustle of this world, and you're going to have to open this book. This is God's message to us. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to study it. You're going to have to meditate upon it. You're going to have to cry out, oh God, help me to understand. I want to know, Lord. I want to know you like the Apostle Paul. I want to know you, Lord. Those are such tender words. I want to know you, Lord. Have you ever known someone that you would like to know them better but they seemed so distant and they were hard to get to know. The Lord Jesus is not that way. He's just right there. He was there all the time. And you can know Him. You can know Him. And how blessed and precious that is. I thought about an instant. It's found in John's Gospel, chapter 9. And it's about that blind man. You know the story. It's a very familiar story. He was blind. He was born blind. The disciples wanted to know, somebody's been sinning around here or he wouldn't be blind. That's one of those silly things that comes into the minds of people. They think because somebody's going through a hardship, trial or testing, who sinned? You know, we always like to attach something bad to something that is bad and blame somebody for it. Well, I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus said, nobody sinned. You know, sometimes things happen, adversity and trial. It's for the glory of God. God can do what He wants to, when He wants to, as often as He wants to. You know, when we get reconciled to that, you're a lot happier. You want to be happy in the Lord? Be satisfied with God's will. God's doing this. This is God working. And I'm happy. I'm happy. As long as I know He's in charge, I'm happy. His will be done. But one thing came out of this that you notice. All kinds of things began to be brought into a kind of a complicated situation. His mother and father were put on the spot. He was put on the spot. The Pharisees were giving him a hard time, and he just took about all he could of it, and he finally said, you know. He said, you know, there's one thing I know. I was blind, but now I can see. I know that. Look at me. Look in these eyes that had never seen anything. Look at them. I can see. You've asked me who this person is. I don't know that person. I don't even know who he is. But I'll tell you what, he can open blinded eyes. And he's wonderful. He's wonderful. I know. You see that certainty? I know something. And dealing with God can be that way. When we're under His control and He's working in our lives, isn't it wonderful to know the hand of God is upon my life? It's upon me as an individual. And He's working. Someone said, I don't see anything happening. Well, what are you all excited about? God's working in my life. I know it. I know it's Him. No one else could do what He's doing. I have definitive answers to questions that I've raised. I know. Here's one, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. You know, a man would have to be a fool not to know the difference between death and life. Something's dead and something's living. He'd have to be a fool not to know there was a difference. You know, sometimes I have people that I have known and some I know now. They do not understand the plans and the purposes of God in wanting to save souls and give people eternal life and forgive them of all of their sins. They don't know that. They have no discernment whatsoever. It seems that the God of this world has so completely veiled, darkened their minds that they can't see. And brother and sister in Christ, face it. The world without Christ is blind. They can't see.
No wonder that person you talk, you get that look in their faces.
Well, I don't believe you're getting the message.
No, I'm not.
But when a man gets saved by the grace of God and he becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus, if you have any kind of sense of discernment at all, you're going to see a difference in that life. There'll be the evidence of spiritual life. There'll be something there that was never there before. Something that was dead is now made alive. And that's happened to you and me as believers. Being born again is a spiritual birth. Now you have spiritual life. It's vibrant life. It's life that if you really put it on display to the world, they'd have to be a fool not to see and know that there was a difference. Sometimes unsaved people make snide remarks about, you sure are a religious person now. You didn't used to be a religious person. It seems like now everything with you is religious. No, everything with me is divine. It's God working in my life. It's Christ in me. I know that in the book of Job, there are many, many things that I love to read, and they just thrill you. But there's a statement made in Job, the 23rd chapter and the 10th verse. And this is what it says. It said, God knows the way I take. The God knows how much I know. I'm so limited in my comprehension of Him and what He really is and what He's doing, but He knows me. And He knows all about me. He knows all of my weaknesses. He knows all of my strong points. God knows me. Are you comforted by that thought? My God knows me. He knows who I am. He knows what a dummy I am sometimes. But you know, He loves me. He loves me right on. And His grace will be all sufficient. He just wants me to keep on keeping on. And don't cast your faith aside. And don't say, this is just not worth it. It's the only way to go, brother and sister in Christ. Go with God in your life. Go with Christ as the one that's preeminent in your life every day. Job said something else. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, you just read that book of Job and you just absorb all those things that happened to him, the adversity, the trial, all of that. And that was God doing that in his life. Have you considered my righteous servant, Job? That was a challenge to Satan. Satan came back with some pretty nifty answers. Oh, he said, yeah, he's a nice guy. He ought to be with that fence you got built around him, them hedges. Nothing can get to him. You got him just hemmed up. You just take care of him. Man, he gets royal treatment every day. Take it away. Let me take it away. And I'll show you something. He'll curse you to your face. Thank God he didn't. Thank God that righteous man, losing all of his worldly possessions, his family and everything, says he never charged God with his tongue of being unjust or unrighteous in anything he did. You know, I've had people confess to me, I didn't think the Lord was treating me right. I just don't think I deserve all of this. Oh, you don't? Don't look at me. I didn't do it. If the Lord is working in our lives and there's adversity and there's trial, it's there for a purpose. And that takes me to what I want to say in the next statement.
You remember the time, the day that you discovered Romans 8:28? Do you remember? You didn't always know that. When was it that one day you picked up the Word of God, or you heard someone quote it, and you heard someone give to you a little insight into what that was all about? All things work together for good to them that love God. All things. All things. All things, brother and sister. You love the Lord, you want His will, His way for your life. Everything that's happening in your little life is working together. Some way, somehow. You say, it hurts! It hurts! He knows all about the hurt. Knows all about the pain. He knows all about everything. Isn't it wonderful that He knows all about everything? And sometimes we're in the shadows and we're crying out, oh Lord, help me to understand. Help me to know what You know about this situation. He's wonderful. He reveals to us His mind and His will. And, you know, and the end result is that He unveils for us the whole purpose for why some of these things that are working together for good to them that love the Lord. He tells us in His Word and through that inner witness of the Spirit of God, now do you see why? Yes. Yes, Lord. Wasn't it worth it all? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It was worth it all. I don't want the time to get away from me. I have about two or three more of these that I'd like to share with you. You know, the resurrection, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ back here just a few months ago. And you know, it seems like there's a movement in the world today. It's just two or three times lately. There have been some statements made concerning the death, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rediscovery of the place where He was buried. Perhaps it's the casket that He was buried in, the place that He was buried and all of this. It's an attempt by the world to undermine the faith of those that believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This whole world just does not stop trying, because the God of this world is not going to shut up. He's going to do everything that He can to discredit God and the work that He has done in saving the souls of poor sinners. He's going to do everything He can, believe me. He's not holding back anything. He's going wide open, doing everything He can do to try to discourage you and me and every person that has ever trusted God and has ever received Christ as their Savior. He's trying to undermine our faith. You know, sometimes He succeeds. There are people that, well, I don't know. I don't know. They begin to wobble a little. I tell you, He's a formidable foe. You better put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand, face Satan, submitting yourself under the authority of God. Resist him and he'll flee from you. You can make that rascal run when you pull the Word of God upon him and remind him that the sovereign God that created all things, He created him, and he fell, and he lost what was so great and beautiful that God had created. God never created anything that wasn't perfect and beautiful. And Satan, Lucifer, beautiful angelic being, But he fell. And he paid a price. And he underwent a change. And now he's a monster! He is a monster. He will destroy everything that is pure and holy, everything that is honoring to God. He would stamp it under his feet. You take the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and change it into something that this world would treat with little or no regard and certainly no respect. That's what he'll do. That's what this person, Satan, does in the world today. No, we have a living Savior. We know that he arose from the grave. And we know that he ascended back into the heavens. And we know that every person that has ever trusted him with the eternal destiny of their souls for salvation and deliverance from the judgment of the wrath of God, they're safe and secure in him. He knows that. And we know it. But he won't stop trying. We read this scripture, it's found in 2 Corinthians 5. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know, so often at funerals we hear these words, our brother, our sister that's here in this casket, that's their body there, that's that tent that they lived in. That was that temporary dwelling place for them here upon the face of the earth. But he's not there anymore. You see, when he drew that last breath, he was absent from that body and he was present with the Lord. I know that! How do you know that? Because the Word of God says that, brother. That's what this book, the Bible, tells me. Every believer that leaves this world, that dies, he goes to be with Christ. And you know what the Apostle Paul said? That's better. That's better! That's better than anything you can experience in this life. To be with Christ. Oh, to be with him and be like him! Man, I'm telling you, what awaits us is something that sometimes it escapes us to the point that I'm ashamed of myself. I'm not living like I know what I am about to inherit in the way of spiritual blessing and being in the presence of God, being changed into the very likeness of the Son of God. I don't appreciate that like I ought to. And I know better. And you know better too, brother. And you know better too, sister. We need sometimes just check up and find out if we really know what this eternal destiny of our souls, what it really is facing and what it'll be changed into. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. That's called a blessed hope. A hope that will bless our souls. You know, if you can just withdraw from what is a part of living right now, and just close your eyes and think about what it's going to be like him. You know, three times over in Revelation chapter 22, he says something that I don't think a day hardly anymore. I used to say quite often, but now it seems like almost every day, someone says something to me about the coming of the Lord. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He said he was coming, And he will come when we least expect it. When we least expect it, he's coming. Some people have it all mapped out. You see all those signs? I'm not looking for signs. I'm looking for him. And he's coming. He says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. This is the Lord Jesus. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 20 says, surely I come quickly. Brother and sister in Christ, that man who was classified as being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the Son of the living God, who gave himself for you and me, he's coming back. Coming back to receive you and me to himself. And we will ever be with the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, as we think about what we know about him, what we know about him certainly thrills our souls. We'd make a confession right here tonight, Lord. We could know a lot more. Help us to search and to know more about him. He is the unsearchable, indescribable gift of God. Help us, Lord, to realize more and more every day that we live until you come and receive us unto yourself, that we are really a privileged people, a people blessed, a people that are in store for enjoying the eternal riches that are ours in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his holy and precious name, we give thanks. Amen.